This is an addendum. It's a continuation of the word from last week. And if you were not here, or you've not had time to watch the video from last week, or you didn't read the midweek, let me just really in a nutshell tell you what the deal was. I talked about an ever-growing vision within my heart that started in ministry, where I was longing for thousands to be saved in El Dorado in the early 90s, late 90s, for tens of thousands in Wichita in the area. And then I talked about discipling the nations and how that grew in my heart in the 2000s. But now there's a biblical-sized prophetic vision that fills my thoughts and is my concern primarily, which is I said I'm living for and praying for and preaching for the global invasion of planet Earth by Jesus so that he gets back what is rightfully his, which is the nations. Now, that's a big line with a lot of drama to it, because I'm a drama guy, that's trying to capitalize the glory of what the Bible talks about, which is basically I'm living for the return of Jesus. I'm longing for Jesus to come back, and I talked about my highest hopes of the glory of God, the defeat of his enemy, and needing a resurrection body. My highest hopes are all met in the blessed hope. And so there it was in 3 minutes, what I did last week. And I believe with all my heart, as we shared last week, that you and I are not just waiting on the second coming, that we have something to do about the second coming. That the second coming has something to do with what we do with our lives, how we do the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24:14, and preach it to all nations, and then the end comes. How we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and 1,000 other prayers where we're pulling on Jesus to come. We're praying and we're singing and we stimulate the second coming, and how we live pure and godly lives. And in that, we accelerate the exposure of darkness and the Antichrist spirit, and we accelerate the second coming. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 and 12 says that we're waiting for, but we also hasten and speed the second coming. Now, what I want to meditate with you this morning about is this issue of growing in, receiving and growing in the revelation of Jesus as King of Kings. Literally receiving that revelation, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want to look at some passages here. I was going to just read a bunch of passages this morning about Jesus being King. There's just way too many. There's literally hundreds from Old Testament and New Testament. It's a primary subject of the prophetic utterances of the major prophets, minor prophets, of the apostles, is that there is a global ruler. You see it again from Samuel all the way through the prophets, the minor prophets. There's going to be one global ruler that will rule over the earth literally. And the reason that I'm preaching this is this. I think that many of us have a measure of revelation about the Lamb of God that's been slain, Revelations 5. He says, look, the Lamb who's been slain, and he saw a lamb as though it had been slain. That's Jesus, and he has marks that he's taken, that God loves us and has forgiven us and made atonement for our sins by his blood. You've got to have that. You've got to have that to enter into the kingdom. But you cannot mature in and go forward in the kingdom unless you add to that that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It says that John, at the exhortation, look, the Lamb of God, okay? There, in the Lion of the tribe of Judah, there was a mixture of the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb that was slain, and they were both the same person. And I know this, that in the nations and in our lives, the message that God forgives us and has made atonement for us by his glorious grace is not controversial to us at all. It's not controversial to world leaders. That's not trouble. That's good news that we're like, we'll add to the rest of our lives. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be forgiven. But the message that he's the King of Kings, he's the capital King of lowercase kings, that he's the Lord of Lords and has full authority over our lives, this is the controversial message. This is what is going to stir up the nations. This is what caused trouble for Jesus. It's what caused trouble for the apostles. When the apostle John, excuse my voice, I'm going to get through this. I roared through it in Wichita, but John the apostle was on the island of Patmos, which was an island when he wrote the book of Revelation. It was an island for political prisoners. It was for people that were trying to do uprisings and anarchy. These apostles were preaching a message. They didn't just preach, Jesus died for your sins and he rose from the dead. They said that so that there was faith and entrance into the kingdom. But they preached that he was the judge of all the earth, that he was the global king, the fulfillment of the messianic promises, that there would be one king over planet earth. That's what got them in trouble. That's what got Jesus in trouble. It's what got the apostles in trouble. And if you and I will preach the true gospel of the kingdom, it will have the entry information of atonement, glorious, but it will have the fullness with our words and our lives that there is one King over everything. And that's what we're all grappling with. So my mission this morning is that you would receive deeper and grow in your revelation of Jesus as King of Kings. So, Revelations 19, let me just marinate this with a couple passages, and I'm going to make a couple statements, and we're going to finish a bit early today. But it says in verse 11, then I saw, this is the second coming of Jesus in its most clear description in all of the Bible. It says, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and he makes war. The second coming is about the mission of Jesus judging and making war. The first coming was about Jesus being judged. The second coming is about him judging. He was judged for our sin in the first coming and manifested peace. He's coming with the second coming to literally release judgment on sinners and to make war on the enemy and the Antichrist kingdom. Verse 12, his eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. What a sentence. 13, he's clothed in a robe dipped in blood. That commentators believe that's either, it could be his blood, but more clearly it might be Isaiah 63, the blood of his enemies. Isaiah 63 talks about Jesus marching through Judah, or what is modern day Jordan, Edom, and he's killing people that are resisting him, Jesus, making war, and the blood is on his white robes as he's coming through there. Amazing. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. That's you and me, by the way. That's the resurrected races. Angels don't need horses, all right? The resurrected saints ride on horses and come with him. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written on it, which is King of Kings. This is written on his robe, and it's written on literally his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because that's what he is. The Bible had been unpacking that. That revelation that's written on him, okay, that's that little, that piece of information at the end of his second coming that's mentioned, is really what the Bible had been unpacking all through. There's a Messiah coming. And he's not just the King of the Jews, he's the King of everybody. He's got total, thorough authority. And really, this is what brings global peace. This is what's going to bring the destruction of all the enemies of men and women. Last week, we talked about this is not normal. It's not normal that we get sick. It's not normal that we die. It's not normal that people abuse children and market them for money. This is not normal. And I think I tried to say that to you all. Stop settling for abnormal. We're living a lot of our lives in the abnormal realm where we get sick and hurt and struggle financially, asking for a little protection and a little provision. God, give me a little money and keep me from getting hurt too bad, and I'll reach this goal financially, and I'll reach this goal in my life and family, and then, man, I've hit it. I tell you, if you do that, you settle for too little. I'm not settling for anything as good as life can get here on this side. There's nothing compared to the glory of when Jesus comes. God's not getting the glory he's due. His enemy is raping and pillaging the nations, and bodies are suffering because we don't have Jesus here. And I hope you've got that in your eschatology. We don't die, and then we go to heaven, and we wait, and then God lights a match and burns up the earth, and then we all float around as spirits for eternity. Does everybody understand that's not the Bible? The Bible clearly says, Ephesians 1 and 9, that the mystery made known, this is the big mystery, God is going to bring under one head all the things in heaven, all the properties and dimensions of heaven, and all the things on earth, he'll bring them under one head and one government. We're going to have a natural realm and a spirit realm that do this. Right now they're like this. And most of us have disengaged, and we have a Gnostication. Gnosticism is basically the spiritualizing of our lives. And literally, we don't think physically about the coming of Jesus. During this meditation this morning, I hope you will engage your heart to literally think about a physical Jesus. Jesus has a physical, literal body in a spiritual heaven right now. And he's literally going to come back in a body and literally swing a sword and literally take back the nations. It's a physical, grainy kind of thing. We get resurrection bodies. You don't need a resurrection body to live in heaven. You need a resurrection body to live on planet Earth. It's going to be a natural realm. There's going to be rivers. There's going to be fruit. You and I are going to eat. We're going to relate. We're going to keep learning after the second coming of Jesus. We're going to grow in his glory. And the planet will be what it was supposed to be. This is not normal. It's not normal that planes go down near, you know, that Asia plane. This is not normal. That people are dying in tragic things and the weather's out of control. And that we are so settled. What's shocking is not those events. What I think shocking is that the body of Christ gets comfortable with this age. And we're just, again, asking for a little bit of blessing. Keep me from pain and let me live my life. And I'm telling you, we're settling for so little. In Revelations 1:5, in the introduction of the book, John had revelated and said, and from Jesus Christ, this is from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead. Love those two realities. Meditate on them. Jesus is the only one with real truth, and Jesus is the firstborn of a new race that's born again to never die again. Lazarus was not that. Lazarus had another funeral. Jesus rose to never die again. But listen, that other one, and he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. That's literal. He's the ruler over the United Nations, is how you ought to think in your mind. He's the ruler over the leader of Spain and Germany and Africa. You know what I mean? He's literally the ruler of all of them by the rights of the Father and what he's given him. It's said multiple times throughout the scriptures that Jesus is the king. In fact, Jesus is having this conversation with Pilate after he's arrested in John 18. I don't know if you remember that. I love this dialogue. There's a lot of great dialogue with Jesus at the end. He doesn't really speak much, but we see one of the places where he'll speak with those that are arresting him in John 18. Pilate, who's working for the Roman government over that area, entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him this question. This is what I want to know. Are you the king of the Jews? This is what they were doing to get him arrested. I don't know if you remember what the Pharisees were saying. They were saying, this guy says he's king. Jesus says he's king and he's preaching a kingdom. We know Caesar is our king. I mean, those Jews were selling out because they hated Jesus. They hated Herod. They hated Pilate. But they were like, we're for you. And this guy's the rebel. And it was about Jesus' claim of being king. Verse 34, Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord or do others say it to you about me? Do you have a revelation? Or did others say it? Is it rumor? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, watch, it's kingdom talk of all the things he could have said. My kingdom is not of this world, this realm, right? The right now. If my kingdom were of this realm, this right now, my servants would have been fighting. By the way, that's angels, it's resurrected saints, that's who that, okay? They would fight. And even my apostles, I'd have swords in their hands. That's not now, that I might not be delivered over the Jews. But the kingdom, my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. And Jesus answered, listen, at this direct thing, you say that I am a king. And I tell you, for this purpose I was born. And for this purpose I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth. And what's the truth? The truth is, he's the king. God's got a king. God's got a messianic king that's in the line of David that's going to rule the planet. That's the truth. Now, he's the Savior. Oh, my, thank the Lord he's the Savior. He's the entry into the kingdom. But listen, the fullness of what he is, he's the king. This is the truth, and this is what he was testifying about, and this is what got him crucified. This is what got him crucified, I'm telling you, everybody, and this is what's going to get us in trouble if we preach the gospel of the kingdom. When it says in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the nations, and then the end will come, we're very clear that's going to cause trouble. It caused trouble in the book of Acts, and it's going to cause trouble in these last days if a people will rise up and preach it. And let me tell you, the gospel of kingdom is more than God has now in Jesus forgiven people of their sins. That's not controversial. God loves you. God cares for you. That's wonderful. It's glorious news. I'm not belittling at all. I'm just saying it's not the fullness of the message. The message is, the word is in the Greek, gospel means what, everybody? What's that word? Good news. He said, this is the good news of the kingdom. What's the word kingdom mean? It's basileia, and it means the dynamic right to rule. That's what that word means. So when Jesus was saying the message, we lose it in the language, he was preaching the good news that the dynamic rule of God was invading planet Earth. That's the message. He would heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead to give certain emblems or signs that the kingdom was beginning to manifest. But it was like a little seed that would grow into a big plant. It was like a little bit of yeast that was going to work and manifest and take over everything. Or as Daniel would prophesy, it's a small rock not cut off by human hands that will become the largest mountain in the world and take over everything. Jesus was preaching global takeover. Jesus was preaching his right as king to take over everything. If you will think with me for a moment, it's this message that you have controversy with. You're struggling with his full authority to have the right to say and do everything in your life. Am I in the right room? Is everyone? I gotta, listen, the Adam race has to be born again, John 3, so it can come into, enter and see the kingdom of God. It's not heaven, it's the rule of God. You can't enter his rule or see his rule and experience the glory of it unless you get a new heart. Everybody with me? It's not you must be born again to go to heaven. It's you must not be born again. You must be born again to enter the rule of God, because Adam rebels don't enter it. Adam rebels don't enter it. And by the way, this Adam rebel got a new heart at 10 years old, and I'm 37 years into still struggling even with this new heart. Anybody else? I'm still struggling with his rights over my money, over my spending activity, over my body, over my time. I'm still trying to negotiate with the King of Kings, because this is the controversy. I have no controversy that he forgives me and loves me. I take that in and go, yes! Does anybody else do that? Ah, yes, you love me. What I struggle with is Jesus coming and saying, I didn't come to take part in your life. I came to take all over your life. That's the trouble. Individually, it's the controversy. Psalms 2 tells us it's the controversy in the nations. The world leaders do not want to give up control. They don't want the standards of God. Our own nation is casting off the standards of God about our sexuality, about what's life. They're saying we know better, and they're rejecting King Jesus. They're not rejecting that he forgives them and loves them. They're rejecting his right to say what we do with our bodies. Is that the nation I'm living in? It's Psalms 2 rage. It says, why do the nations rage? Our nation is raging. The nations are raging, casting off the fetters and the demands of a king who has declared righteousness. This is the controversy. And I'm wondering where you are today with this issue of a revelation of him as King of Kings. Where's your heart? I want you to go deep in land that was slain. Go deep, go deeper in it. But I bet you're further in that one than you are in he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He gets it all. He's fully submitted. And I'm telling you, until we get it, we can't fully preach it. And if we can't fully preach it, then the end is not going to come. My motive, again, I just want to make clear to you. I want people not to go to hell. I want people to be people of prayer. And I want purity and holiness in our lives. But those are all a means to my end. My end is those three things get Jesus back to the planet. Let me just ask you a question. Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Do you want Jesus to come back? I'm telling you, the only thing that breaks the Demas addiction off of us. Demas, everybody know what I'm talking about? We say it, I've said it multiple weeks. One of Paul's last sentences he ever wrote before he was killed, however he was killed, some think beheaded. He wrote, Demas, my precious disciple, he mentions him in another place, has deserted me because he's in love with this present world. He's deserted me because he fell in love with this present world. How many of us are having a romance with the world? And listen, you can continue your romance with the world, even involving God. I want money, I want fame, I want pleasure. God, you can help me with that? Okay, I claim your promises for money and fame and pleasure. You tell me who you're worshiping then. You tell me who the body of Christ is worshiping when they're using God to get what their heart always wanted anyway, to continue a romance with a fallen age. I tell you, the only thing that dislodges our weak little hearts from being in love with all that shines and people loving us all the time and thinking we're the best and having all the money so we can do whatever we want. The only thing that breaks your addiction is the power of the Spirit unhinging your heart from valuing this age and you beginning to love his appearing, living for the age to come. You spend your money because of the age to come. You live your life because of the age to come. You're living everything you're doing. You're having your marriage not so you can get heaven on earth. There's so many people. Amy and I were trying to work a little hell out of our life in the last 2 days. It ain't all heaven at the McVeigh house, I'm sure you can imagine. But I'll tell you what's the deal. It's not a shock ever that we don't have heaven in our marriages. What's a shock to me is that we think we can find heaven in our marriage. You can't. What, are you kidding me? We've tasted the deposit of the glory of Jesus. I'll never, ever get my fulfillment and my fullness from Amy McVeigh. She'll never do it. Only Jesus can fulfill the deepest desires of my heart. And my marriage now can become a means where I learn how to embrace Jesus and know Jesus better. If you kind of understood what I said, say amen. Oh, you got to shift. We're looking for satisfaction in money. We're looking for satisfaction in marriage. We're looking for satisfaction in our jobs, in our relationships. I'm like, you're never going to be satisfied. It'll be a great day when you give up. I can't get heaven here, so I'm going to bring heaven down. I'm going to go for Jesus being here, breaking the curse, healing my body, getting rid of the devil, and bringing the fullness that my heart desires. I tell you, a resurrection body. Isn't anybody wanting a resurrection body? Can you imagine? Food tastes so good to me. What's it going to taste like in a resurrection body? Joy and happiness feel so good to me when it hits. What's it going to feel like with resurrected emotions? We're all at best living with a veil over our head in a dark tunnel with little glimmers of light when we are made for the full blaze of the sun. And we should be living for that and going for that. That God forgives you and you do not have to go to hell is not the controversial message. Hitler was trying to exterminate a whole race. Do you know one of his primary reasons, historically proven, that he wanted to kill the Jews? He was informed about their literature, their prophecies. Hitler said it. I've read their stuff. I know they think they've got a global ruler coming. The Jews want to take over everything. And that drove him, that Antichrist kind of right spirit drove him to try to annihilate them. You know why I said kind of right? It's because it is a Jewish man that's going to take over everything. It is a Jewish man that's coming to rule the whole planet. So Hitler decided, I'm going to kill all the Jews who say they're going to globally take over, which is what the Bible says, and I'm going to myself conquer Europe. Well, he didn't get her done. It got driven back, and he got killed, and he was food for worms because there's only one ruler. Jesus is the one who's coming back to take Germany and to take Spain and to take Yugoslavia and to take Ghana and to take Sudan, where there's raging rape and death and starving. Jesus is coming back to break the curse off that. He's the only one that can do it. Don't you want him back? He's the global ruler, and he's the controversy of the nations. So I wonder, in your heart, do you have that kind of antichrist thing that happens? Because I think every time we say, Jesus, you don't have a right to this area in my life. I'm going to do my thing. When you do that, you join the rage of the nations. The nations are raging, not over the love of God that he's redeemed. They're raging over the full claim of authority of God. And I want to be among a family that's learning how to practically possess the lordship of Jesus, where the government of God is increasing, of the increase of his government and what? Peace, there'll be no end. Every time I get more government of Jesus in me, I get more peace. It's just a law. Is anybody else having that experience? The insanity of my brain, because every time I reject his government, I get the opposite. I get anxiety, I get fear, and I get worry. Anybody else having that? When Jesus runs things, I'm like, kind of giggly happy. Set back, he's driving. When I jump up and kick him out and I take the wheel, it gets really, really ugly. I don't know it's the insanity of the sin that's in us. But the increase of his government, his peace is coming. And I think to faithfully live and witness to Jesus, you must receive a revelation of him as King of Kings. May the Lord give us deeper the lamb that was slain. But in your life, I'm asking you now, as I'm closing this out, and I'm going to do it with meditation. Meditation means to revolve in your mind, to activate your God-given imagination. I want you all to begin in your mind. I read Revelation 19 to picture Jesus coming back. right now, begin to meditate on it. You can shut your eyes if you want, or you can open your eyes, doesn't matter. Can you picture it? It's that direction, by the way, my favorite direction, east. Literally in a body, literally on a horse. Amen? Literally with a global trumpet sound. It says, a trumpet will sound. I think it's a global thing that will be heard. A global shout. Ah! I don't know, what will that shout sound like? He will come back. Can you picture it right now? Literally, not a spiritual Sunday school poster, not just a song you sing. I mean, literally, you're here and a shout shakes the earth. A trumpet sounds and the nations are arrested because a literal global invasion is happening out from the heavenly realms into this earth. Can you picture it? I think it would do you well to dream of that. And then he lands on the planet. He marches through the planet, through the Middle East, into Israel. Jesus, fighting, making war on the nations. Clearly it says that. Blood is on his robes because people won't repent. They'd rather have suicide, the book of Revelation says. Kings are going, rocks fall on us. When all they had to do was fall down before the rock. It's crazy. But the sin's so deep, and Jesus is going to have it. And he's coming through. Can you picture? Literally, it's not Lord of the Rings, it's better. I think I said, I'm not sure if I said it here. It's like Lord of the Rings on steroids is what's coming. That's what's happening. A literal raging war. Here he comes. And he's not losing. And he's in a body that can never die. And you and I are with him. And he's here not just to engage and get people to go to hell and go to heaven. He's coming to renew the earth. To take out of it enmity. Wolves and lambs will lay down together. Postmen and dogs will hug. It'll be a glorious day. Little toddlers will put their hands near the snake hole, it says, and they will not be bit. Can you imagine the animal kingdom transformed and not eating one another and attacking one another? Human beings no longer taking advantage. I began to do this meditation in Wichita, and one of the young guys just started talking out loud. And I hadn't asked anybody to talk out loud. He's like, oh, I'm imagining heaven. And a place of no pride, a place of no pain. I was like, yes! That'll affect that guy's medical practice. Affects his marriage. He was just savoring normal. Normal is Jesus here breaking the curse off the planet. Can you picture it? Jesus reigning in Jerusalem. Listen, the reigning of Jesus comes in two thrones. He's got one of them already. Everybody knows that, right? Hebrews 1:3. After providing purification for sins, he was seated at the right hand in majesty. Jesus is reigning in heaven with all authority in heaven and earth. He's there. But that throne is not the fullness. That throne must be joined with a throne on earth. And clearly it says Jerusalem is his throne. He'll bring the new heaven, the new earth will come together like this. It'll just be a glorious deal. I can't even imagine what it'll be like. You and I will converse with angels. I told them over there, and I mean it. The kingdom will be populated with the faithful who believed in the new covenant and were born again. I'm going to find Enoch. Enoch is arguably my favorite guy in the Old Testament. I'm going, what was it like? I'm going to do this. I'm going to get myself a white horse. I'm going to get Enoch's address wherever he's reigning in the earth, and I'm going to go find him. I'm being kind of funny, and I'm totally serious. This is becoming very real to me. I'm going to go, Enoch, what was it like? You walked with God for 300 years, and then you were no more. What happened? I've got a couple verses I want to know. Elijah, the fiery chariot came and got you into, what was that? Can you imagine? We'll keep learning and experiencing and dialoguing about our God experiences on the planet as the glory of God increases. It says of the increase of his government and peace, there'll never be an end. Eternally, he spreads his rule. Eternally, we'll be reigning with him and learning and walking in glory. I'm so ready for that day, aren't you? I wonder if some of you young folks are. Us old folks are like, we're really, really, bring it. I'm 47 years into really ready for it. I want to raise up young people. I want to raise up young people that want it now. They want it more than marriage. They want it more than career. They want it more than money. And they'll give themselves to the gospel of the kingdom, to prayer, and to purity and godliness. Because I tell you, your practical life has everything to do with the second coming. And there's been a disconnect between those doctrinal realities and my practical life. Some of you have thought it while I'm preaching today. How in the heck does me homeschooling my kid or going to work every day and doing a rivet relate to the second coming? It has everything to do with the second coming of Jesus. You and I are invading this realm with the presence of God. We're Terry Bell getting boldness at the hospital. Mike, it's what you do with Jesus that's everything. That right there spread light. And it began to corner off darkness, if you will, in a certain way. Does that make sense? You obeying God. You doing the practical little things with your jobs, with your whatever. I'm telling you, you don't have to go to Africa and preach the gospel of the kingdom to engage the kingdom coming. It's your lives, everywhere you are. Because I tell you, in this real kingdom that's coming, there's going to be, I believe, governments and water and gardens and trees and people in authority over other people in authority. We're going to have relationships in the new heaven, the new earth. Right now, you get to learn how to have relationships with people, and what you do now carries over to then. So I'm wondering today, do you have a revelation of Jesus as King of Kings? Is the controversy coming more to an end in 2015? That thing that rages in you, and it rages in the nations, and it's going down. It's going down. Jesus is going to bring it down. What I'm encouraging you to do is preemptively let it come down. Surrender all. Surrender all. And begin to ask the Lord, would you cause me to value an age to come more than this age? I'm so addicted to today. Would you help me to live for that day to come, spending my money, spending my body, spending my time for your glory? Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would do a work, do a divine work. What preaching I can't do, so weak what I just did. But Lord, would you raise up a people with apostolic vision, prophetic vision of the second coming, your second coming, your return, the blessed hope. May it burn in our hearts and affect how we deal with greed and sensuality and relationships. We pray that we could live for a day to come, storing up riches in the age to come, storing up glory in the age to come. Lord, I pray you close the gap between what we believe and what we live, between the spiritual realm and the natural realm. Thank you that you're going to unite them all one day, and we're asking that you would unite them in our hearts. I pray for people in here that go deeper in their revelation of the Lamb that takes away their sin. More and more revelation about the blood, the glory of the atonement. But I pray that you would also take us deep, deep in knowing you're the King of Kings. Raise up a people that can faithfully proclaim the gospel of the kingdom in our neighborhoods, in our homes, and to the nations. Lord, we're ambassadors, and I thank you for that. And we want to know the terms of peace, and we want to offer the terms of peace to people through the gospel and the blood. But Lord, may we not forget to clearly live and proclaim the message that you're coming back to thoroughly, thoroughly take over everything and to bring about the blessing on planet Earth. Lord, we love you and we bless you. Would we all stand, if you could, for a moment? And I'll close out with this. Lord, I pray for people's meditation this week. I'm asking that you would engage and let there be a sanctification of imaginations in this room. We've used our mind to picture fame and money and other stuff we shouldn't have. Our imagination, that's a God-given thing. I pray, really practical, that you would sanctify the imagination of your people, and that we could meditate on and picture and dream of the glories of what you prophesy about. I pray for a people that are infatuated with the coming of Jesus, that are longing for the coming of Jesus, that are breaking their romance. May there be all kinds of Dear John letters coming from our life toward the things that we have joined ourselves with. Pray for a breaking of unloyalty and the release of passionate loyalty to the husband, to Jesus. We love you. We're weak without you. Take our hearts, O God, and do an awesome miracle among us. In Jesus' name.